with the latest Flyers Roundtable. Joined by Steve Coates, Bill Meltzer, and Jim Jackson, Tim Saunders at Skate Zone in Voorhees. Flyers have it rolling right now, playing some of their best hockey of the season. Guys, I think the most encouraging sign to me, the Flyers suddenly are finding ways to win games when they weren't earlier in the year.
I think it's a maturity of the season. You know, the season is an evolution to see your hockey club hopefully get better. And I think you've seen all those different things happening. We talk about Konechny being a lot more effective, Patrick being a lot more effective, Raffle being a lot more effective. All the different things that we talked about that you need the hockey club to be successful over the long haul. That's what it is, an education to be better and be ready for the playoffs and hopefully move on in that situation. But this whole hockey club is showing a confidence level that really indicates that the players are all contributing and they don't worry about it. And the one thing that I love is a team that has no worry about coming back after trailing. And that's a bad number for me in the National Hockey League, where you see so many teams don't have that ability.
I'll tell you what, they're 6-1-1 now, one-goal games since the end of their 10-game winless streak. Up to that point, I think they'd won 2 one-goal games all year. So, yes, they're winning the closer games now. Some of it's luck. Detroit. Pure and simple.
Detroit. Yeah,
Detroit game comes to mind. I mean, some of it is they're getting breaks they weren't getting. But, you know, for the most part in this game, people will tell you, you make your own breaks. So I think they deserve that. And a lot of it is composure. I mean, this team early in the year, I thought, I don't know, fragile might be a little too strong a word. But if things went a little wrong on them in the middle of a game, they had a tough time reacting. And, Coach, you talk about the fact they're coming from behind now. They're showing that resolve to overcome adversity. And that's a huge trait to have as you head down the stretch.
A certain amount of that's going to even out over the course of a season anyway. You know, you look back at a couple of games, and then, you know, sitting here, the one that jumps out of my mind is the game in Ottawa where they had the big comeback and Couturier had a goal taken away in the final minute when really
– there was that Nashville game too.
The Nashville game as well, yeah. Right. And, you know, those are games where they probably should have had points and they didn't. Those kind of even out. You know, really most of the time, the team that deserves to get points is going to get the points. And that to me has been the most impressive thing. There have only been a couple of games, you know, when we're doing this right after the Detroit game. So that was certainly one of them. You know, maybe the Buffalo game as well. The last one against Buffalo was a game the Flyers didn't play particularly well. But I think in general, the Flyers that have come out, they've gotten off to better starts in games. First period goals have been a big issue. You know, you look at the Jersey game, jumped on them quickly. The St. Louis game, jumped on them right away. And they're closing games a lot better, too. That's been a big thing over the stretch as well.
There may be a new problem, though. We got 15 guys complaining they're not getting enough overtime ice time because it's the same three guys that have ended those last three games in the same shift or the first shift.
Thank goodness. I mean, overtimes and shootouts are not one of the strong parts of this Flyers organization over time.
But suddenly overtimes are.
It's unbelievable. And I just think that when you get into a hot streak, when you think about Couturier, I mean, I said this on the air. Can you imagine we're sitting here watching Sean Couturier? We've argued that he was a third-line center. We've argued that he was maybe a second-line center.
Well, Coach, I'll say this. I think all four of us probably said this about Sean Couturier, that when he was playing third-line, then they moved him up to second-line center, a lot of us were saying, he's just not a second-line center. And we were so right.
He's a first-line center. And so now we're sitting here.
That's not
here,
exactly what we meant, but, you know, we were kind of right.
But we're sitting here in the same breath right now. Sean Couturier is in the hunt for the Rocket Richard Trophy.
I think, to me, the biggest surprise is how good Sean has been on the power play this year. Because if you look at his 5-on-5 production, it's actually been fine over the years. It's just been, you know, they tried him all kinds of places on the power play over his career. Remember when he first came up, they tried him out in the point for a while. They tried him net front. They tried him in the half wall, you know, and they really hadn't tried him in the shooting position that Braden Shannon before that Scott Hartnell had played, and he's thrived in it. I mean, that's where, you know, a lot of times where the jump in points comes, a lot of times it's power play.
So look at Couturier's numbers. You consider Travis Konechny. Is it as simple as just playing with better guys?
I think that's part of it, Coatsy. I mean, certainly you play with better players, you're going to be put in better positions. But I also say this, I've always thought TK was one of those guys where you could see he had the talent. There was no question he has talent. And it's like mining that. What do you have to do to get that to explode? It was, I thought, a gutsy move putting him up there because he wasn't exactly playing his best hockey when they moved him up there, right? And it has paid off. I mean, you can see his confidence growing. He's still making the odd mistake where he overhandles the puck and that. But, you know, he's 20 years old. I mean, to me, this is a move of many that have been made, quite frankly, here this year that has really paid off and pays off not only now but long-term dividends.
It's not one of those things that he got that position because he was deserving of it, but I don't think Dave Haxtell worries about that. I think he took a wild stab at having Kateri go to the middle. He's taken Konechny, put him up there, and everything seems to have worked for him. Thinking about the fact that we've gone from, I don't even want to use the, like, let's say a 3.5-line situation to a 4-line situation now, because now you've completed with Konechny contributing, Nolan Patrick is making Simmons and Wheel a lot better, and it's actually, for me, and this is a lot of fun to watch right now, and I'm thrilled about what's happening, and I know the players, you can see right being around them all the time, that this is a time that they understand now that, hey, we're right there.
Bill, Sean Couturier has obviously had a breakout career year. Jake Voracek has had an unbelievable season so far. I still go back to, let's not forget, Claude Giroux, to me, is still the leader of this team.
100%, and that's why, you know, we did a thing on the Flyers website, the midseason awards, and it was hard picking, you know, the team MVP because there are several different candidates.
It's been hard in years past, but for a different reason. But
absolutely, good reasons this time, you know. And I mean, I had Claude there because if you go back before the season, you know, a lot of times you get an established star, a guy who's been a Hart Trophy finalist, a guy who's been, you know, an All-Star numerous times. And they tell him to change positions, you know, and, you know, a lot of times there's resistance. And with Drew, there was no resistance whatsoever. His attitude from day one was, if it's going to make the team better, let's do it. Let's try it. And that really set a whole lot of things in motion, you know, that have really helped the team. And he's been very consistent game in and game out. He's healthy, too.
You know, when the team wasn't going well, and I guess this goes without saying, it comes with the territory, but Dave Haxtell was kind of a target of some, certainly in social media. It's almost forgotten that, you know, we don't hear that anymore. To me, Hack is the perfect coach for this team, and it's pretty clear that they're all buying in to what he's selling.
Well, you know, the thing about Hack is that the criticism, a lot of it when they were losing, was that he's just the team's taking on the personality of the coach. They don't have intensity night in and night out. Dave Haxtell is not a guy who does a John Tortorella and explodes on the bench, but he is an intense guy. We see him right before games. Sometimes he kind of zones in and we're treated kind of like players. He's an intense guy. So the fans should be rest assured he's an intense guy. That's not a problem. But he also is big picture, right? He sees things not only from today's perspective, but also next week, next month, next year. He's looking that way, which the Konechny move, I think, was one of those examples. But just his demeanor during the 10-game winless streak, never did I see him get to the point where he's like, oh, I've had enough of this, or anything like that. It was always, we're close. We're close. We're losing these games. They're tight. We're getting to overtime in a lot of them. We're close. And, of course, the fans don't want to hear that, right, because you're not winning games. But the bottom line is, from the team standpoint, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger, and I think it's pretty obvious that winless streak did.
You know, along the same lines, I kind of am excited by the approach, and Travis Sanheim's a good example of this. Hack looks big picture. Ron Hextall looks big picture. Yes, you want to take into consideration what's best for the development of a young player, but not at the expense of the team winning right now, and I kind of support that.
Well, look at last year with Travis Konechny and also Gostisbehere. I mean, they were scratched, you know, and there were many times where the Flyers had shortened the bench and Konechny, even if he was in the lineup, wouldn't be playing in third periods. He wasn't part of the overtimes. And as he was putting the work in, and even this year, you know, he was getting more leeway than he did a year ago. It's going to be the same process with Travis Sanheim. A time will come when there are three-on-threes and Sanheim's a regular part of that rotation. You know, there'll be a time when there are close games, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever that point might be, when Sanheim's going to be one of the guys who's earned that trust and he'll be out there. And that's just the process of bringing young players into the lineup.
I mean, the fans today, in today's world, in all sports, fans know so much more about the prospects, right? whether it doesn't even no matter the sport. There's the NFL draft. Look at the zaniness that goes on around that. And some fans know more than I think some of the NFL people do about these guys that watch the combine and all that. So the fans know about Travis Sanheim years in advance now, right, before he gets here. Same with all these. We're hearing about Carter Hart, of course, and Frost and on and on and on. And so I think there's always, from a fan's perspective, they want to see the young guy. They want to see the young guy get in there and go. And they think that the best way for him to train is to be at the NHL level and to learn that way. But that's just not the case. Robert Haig is a perfect example, and there are others that you do need the training. And some guys can step right in, but not all.
The game hasn't changed. Obviously, the exposure these younger players have gotten is because of communication, our ability to be able to tell them about what's happening, where they're at. But the bottom line, nothing's changed. You still have to go to the minors to learn. It's very rare that a guy can come up here and not play without learning how to play the game. And so why are people – I understand we've got to do this, we've got to do that. But the guy behind the bench is there to win, and you got to win now, because people say, oh, yeah, you got to play this guy, play that guy. You're not the guy making the decisions. The coach, who I think has done a great job, he's educating them to get to the spot that they have to be clicking on all cylinders, power play, penalty kill, situations when you pull your goalie or the other team's pulling their goalie. All those little nuances that you have to be successful in the long run. And I just think Hack's done a great job, and he's on schedule.
It's not going to hurt the young player in the long run. Actually, he's going to be a better player for it. You know, it's a process that's really a kind of a time-honored thing. You can go back, you know, when fans wring their hands over it. And I understand why. But you can go back to, you know, Valeri Zelepukin playing over Simone Gagné. You could go back to Brian Savage getting ice time over Jeff Carter.
Brian, you upset about that? Brian Savage over Jeff Carter. Yeah. I had forgotten that one.
And, you know, there's trust in veteran role players. And as the young player settles into the NHL level to playing the game, you know, both ends of the ice, but also shift after shift, you know, eventually they'll settle in. The guys that are good enough to make it will rise.
Don't we have a glaring example of the benefits of playing a couple of years in the minor leagues and Robert Haig?
Yeah. Yeah. Defense is always the tough. Well, goalie's the toughest, then defense, then forwards. We're not that bright, so we can move in anywhere.
I would argue that Travis Konecny would have been in the American Hockey League last year if he would have been allowed to. There are rules, of course, because of age where he could not, and it probably would have done him better than what he got here. But there's no way around that. I'm not sure that will ever change because they want to protect junior hockey. But bottom line is a 19-year-old, 18-year-old, you're not going to play in the AHL. So, you know, they hung on to him up here. But I just think it's different strokes for different folks. Some players are going to need the seasoning. Nolan Patrick's a guy who has great vision, great hockey IQ. His is more just getting adjusted to the pace of the game here, so maybe he doesn't need time back in junior or in the future in the AHL.
And players also have to find an identity too. You know, most of these guys at lower levels were scoring line guys. They were power play guys. You know, Robert Haig being a great example. You know, he was over a point a game in Swedish juniors. He was being groomed as a more of an offensive kind of defenseman. You know, he came over to the Phantoms and he got an education. I mean, it was hard for him. And he had to figure out, okay, what is going to work for me in North America in the pro level? And then how do you take that to the NHL? He's found a niche that works for him. Scott Laughton is another example.
Yeah. I still never saw the physical play from Haig, though. I never saw him leading the league in hits.
That's really come out there.
The other point is that there's an education off the ice, too. You get on that bus, and you're riding that bus, and you say, I really don't want to ride this bus. I'd like to stay in nicer hotels. All the different things that are so important to once you get to the show. And that's why the American Hockey League is the number one development league in the world, because they do such a great job down there everywhere.
No teams go on a playoff run and certainly have success in the postseason if they're not getting good goaltending. That's almost forgotten here. I think between Brian Elliott and Michael Neuvirth, the Flyers have gotten the best goaltending this year than they have in years.
I think that when you go into a hockey game and you watch the goalie and you can see right off the get-go that he's on it. I think on a couple of occasions, Brian Elliott, the game in New York, was a tough one for him. When you take a look at those, you know, certain one game incidents, but he has been solid the whole year. And to have Michael Neuwirth all of a sudden come out of nowhere and play the way he has, you can get now solid goaltending from two of your guys, get into a rhythm. I'm not going to talk about every other night they're going to be, you know, alternating, but I'm just so excited about this group right now.
It's interesting to me. It's they're kind of contrasting goalies in one way. I look at Brian Elliott, as you said, Coatsy, as a sort of a steady as she goes. He'll allow a soft goal, but I love the way he's able to shrug that off and keep going. But a steady as she goes veteran back there. Neuwirth to me is like this star that soars through. He can go on a 5 or 6 game run where he absolutely steals 4 or 5 games for you. That's a great thing to have in your hip pocket as a backup goaltender. So it's an interesting tandem. And I would agree with you, Timmy. If you think back, there have just been 20 to 30 game lapses in seasons where the goaltending really was failing. And knock on wood, they haven't had that so far through more than half of the season. Obviously, we still have a ways to go here. But it's not been – I can't remember. We were talking about this the other day. How many games can you say the Flyers lost because they were out goaltended, because their goaltending was weak?
I think you can count it on one hand.
Yeah. I'd say probably, you know, one or two. I mean, not many.
I would also say that, you know, you can have a game where – you know, where Brian Elliott might not be at his best to start. I thought, for example, the game in Washington, part of the reason I thought they were trying to look for the short side on him so much was that I don't think he was sharp early. But like a pitcher who doesn't have his best stuff, he'll settle in and get better as he goes along. And if one gets past him, the second one is tougher to get than the first one a lot of times. And that's big. That's bigger than the numbers.
We've had a lot of those games this year where at the end of the game, the Flyers have allowed 3, even sometimes maybe even 4 goals, and yet I'm saying, he played well. You know, it's not great for his goals against, but he still played well because the Flyers do give up some great chances from time to time. And you're right. He can give up a goal or two early and still come back and be really good at crunch time.
I thought he was our best player in the 10-game losing streak.
I would agree. He was very good in that. Yeah.
This is going to turn into the audio version of War and Peace, so let's, in an attempt to wrap this up, let's talk about what the Flyers have to do to maintain this.
Are you saying
this...
we talk too much?
Yep. To maintain this consistency from the All-Star break on to the playoff run, timing's everything because they've gotten hot while right now some of the other teams in the Metropolitan Division have stumbled. So they've taken advantage. They've moved up against the teams around them in the Eastern Conference. That's a huge positive, but you don't win a playoff spot this time of the year. You're going to have to keep playing this well. Coatsy, what do you think the key is to maintaining
this? Well, I think your leaders have to be your leaders. I mean, as much as we're getting all these this good play from other players in the hockey club, your guys that are paid the big money have to continue to be your leaders to the common goal of being successful and making the playoffs. I think that also you've got to stay healthy. That's very, very important.
Which they have for the most part.
And touch wood again, because that's huge in this game now because of the way it's, you know, you look at the top two lines and everything after that. It's so important now to stay healthy. And, of course, the goaltending. The goaltending has to continue to be an integral part of the success of this hockey club.
And I think that, you know, there are a lot of positives you can look at where – you know, Flyers going into last night, at least the second fewest 5-on-5 goals against in the league. So even though the penalty kill has struggled, you know, if you're not giving up a lot of 5-on-5, you can work through that stretch. There have been actually signs the penalty kill is coming around a little bit. I thought last night in Detroit was a case where, you know, the penalty kill actually stepped up a couple of times. You know, pretty big for the club. You know, I think that you can win and lose games on special teams. That's big, and also, you know, when the Flyers have games where they don't seem to have any problem stepping up for the, you know, for the really top-notch opponents, but they have to maintain a similar kind of level. They have certain games where you think they go in, you know, this game they should get the 2 points.
For me, I think the Flyers have had, although only one player is going to the All-Star game, I think they've had 4 players who are All-Star worthy. I know the All-Star setup now, it makes it tough for that. But, I mean, Shane Gostisbehere, Sean Couturier, Jake Voracek, and Claude Giroux are all having ridiculously outstanding seasons, and Ivan Provorov's right there probably with him too. But what I'm really looking forward to here in the second half is not only those guys leading, as you say, because they have to, Coatsy, there's no doubt about it, but to watch the younger players take a bigger bite out of the team. We're seeing it with Konechny right now. Nolan Patrick's playing better, and I think he's going to continue to play better. Robert Haig continues to get better, because when it's all said and done, folks, we want the Flyers to win the Stanley Cup this year, and who knows? You never know in the NHL they could, but it's about building this thing toward the future. There's lots more prospects on the way, but I want to see these guys continue to take a bigger bite out of the team, and if they do, and if they stay healthy, you never know what might happen here in the spring.
And I know this is War and Peace, but I just got to tell you, what you just said is so true about the fact that the way the NHL is right now, anybody can win the Stanley Cup.
Where was Nashville right about now? I mean, yeah. they snuck in the playoffs. Basically.
The number one team in hockey is the Vegas Knights.
Yeah, how about that?
It's about timing and playing your best hockey at the right time of the season.
What would Coetzee do, Timmy, with a Stanley Cup Finals, Flyers in Vegas? Would he survive that Stanley
Cup? Well, I know I'd be working solo. Flyers playing well going into the All-Star break. The hope is that they can maintain this consistency coming out of it. With our latest Flyers Roundtable, Steve Coates, Bill Meltzer, Jim Jackson, I'm Tim Saunders.